الحمد لله الحمد لله جل في علا يجيب المضطر إذا دعا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله خير من دعا ربه وناجى فاللهم صل وسلم وبارك على حبيبنا وشفيعنا ووسيلتنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنني أنا الله لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدني وأقم الصلاة لذكري وقال الله عز وجل في مقام آخر وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة واركعوا مع الراكعين وقال الله عز وجل رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل دعاء وقال الله عز وجل وأمر أهلك بالصلاة واصطبر عليها وفي شأن حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. We praise, we glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord, our Creator. We exalt Him and we submit and surrender to Him. We beseech Him, implore Him, ask for His protection, for His mercy, for His guidance, for His salvation. And we send peace and blessings upon our noble, most prestigious and honorable Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower His mercy upon His noble and purified family, and upon the noble and illustrious companions, and upon all of those who follow sincerely in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. My respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower upon you all on this blessed and noble day of Jumu'ah in the sacred and sanctified house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may your intentions and may your efforts become a means for your purification, for your success and salvation in this dunya and also in the hereafter. Ameen. Previously on Jumu'ah, we began a very important topic, a very often overlooked topic in terms of its significance, and we discussed the importance and the core pillar of our deen, which is Salah. And we discussed the importance of acting upon it first and foremost for ourselves, developing our khushu, developing our connection and the quality of our Salah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then also instilling this, the love of Salah and the connection of our Salah in the hearts of our children. Often we see that youngsters, they follow in suit of their parents' careers. If they see that their parent loves their career, their vocation, whether it is being a doctor, an engineer, or anything else, then the children automatically fall in line with that. So if you see that your salah, your children are failing in their salah, they are short in their salah, first and foremost, look at yourself and where you are in terms of your salah. And then think about why your children are on that particular path. So we discussed the importance of Salah, and we had a short discussion on some of the key aspects of Salah that we should consider and to revisit and reflect upon in our lives. And we learned from the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that salah indeed is a light which illuminates your mind, it illuminates your heart, it purifies you and illuminates your actions. It makes you stand out in the hustle and the bustle and the chaos and the 7.8 billion people throughout the world. We discussed how everybody in their shakl or surah, outwardly, they all look the same, behave the same. But the distinguishing factor, the furqan, the discernible factor between us and others, is that we establish our salah 5 times a day, from the time that we wake up until the time that we go to sleep. We are constantly in remembrance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't do this once a week, we don't do this once a fortnight, or once a month, or once a year. We are in constant engagement with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore that salah is constantly guiding us towards that which is right. We learn that the salah is the key to Jannah. And via this key you'll be able to enter into Jannah. And the key to the salah is wudu, again purification. And everybody knows that the only way to enter into the gardens of paradise is if you are free of all forms of sin. So your body needs to be pure via the wudu, and then your heart needs to be purified via the salah. Against the importance of salah and maintaining that connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also towards Jannatul Firdaus. And we discussed that salah is that intimate and very private and very close, meaningful conversation that we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you want to visit somebody, very important, you make a huge amount of effort to dress well, to think about what you're going to say and go through the dialogues and the conversation in your mind, and make sure you maximize that meeting with a VIP, with a CEO, with somebody important. This is when we are meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the worlds. This is when we ascend from the earth and go and into the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how are your conversations, your meetings with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is entirely up to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there waiting for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. So you need to develop your khushu, the devotion, the concentration, the quality of your salah, the meaning of your salah, the quality of the conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, and previously on Jumu'ah, we discussed how salah is the pinnacle of our 5 sha'air or 5 pillars of Islam, and how salah encompasses siyam, it encompasses your shahada, it encompasses your zakat, it encompasses hajj. All of those things are combined within the salah. So it's very important for us to really make our salah more meaningful and make deeper connections with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah we'll continue with the fada'il of salah, inshallah, to invigorate our hearts and to make our salah more meaningful. The next aspect to understand in terms of salah is your attitude to salah reflects your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you meet normal people, or when you meet people you don't like, you generally avoid them, or you have a frown on your face and you kind of, you know, have a particular way of behavior with that individual. When you love people, when you like to be in people's company, then you smile and you embrace them and you shake them and you just want to spend hours and hours in their company, because you gravitate towards these people, those who honor you, cherish you, respect you, and show you love and mercy. So ask yourself this very question: how eager are you to spend time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because this will show your connection, this will show your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So your attitude salah is directly a reflection of your attitude and your connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll all put our hands up and say, yep, we love Allah, Allah is our Lord, He's our Creator. We'll all say that. When it comes to the salah, well, where is that seen in your actions, in your devotion? Or are you eager just to get through your salah and get back into the dunya? This is a very important thing. So the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, look at the attitude of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. He would be in a constant, in a state of eagerness, of anticipation to be in the state of salah. And he would always look towards Bilal and say, say the adhan, say the iqama, arihna biha ya Bilal. You know, give us peace and ease and tranquility, and I want to find that peace. I want to go and meet my Lord, therefore stand up and say the adhan, say the iqama. This is the state of eagerness, of anticipation that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam always had for the salah. Now place yourself in the same position. Many times we hear the azan and we switch the TV off, or we change the channel, or we put the radio off, or the azan is going and we carry on with our conversations. This is all a reflection on how eager we are to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly and emphatically mentions, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نُوذِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ فَسَعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعِ. That whenever you hear the azan, especially in relation to Jum'ah, and this is also applicable to the other salahs, then come running to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and leave everything, and especially your dunya, especially your trade and all of these things that you are doing. And once upon a time, this used to be the case in our home countries. The azan used to happen, we used to close the shops. But look now in Pakistan, look now in India, and even in Egypt, other places, shops continue. And unfortunately now the law has been passed and they are allowing shops to continue running even in Saudi Arabia. This is not my statement, you can read the news. They are allowing shops to remain open during Salah. Why? Because business is affected. This is the state of people's connection with their Lord. And even now the volume of the azan has been decreased to 1/3. So that people are not disturbed by the azan. This is in Makkatul Mukarramah today and Madinatul Munawwarah. This is what the rulers are saying at this moment in time. So this is a reflection of their connection and their attitude towards their Lord. And similarly, ourselves, I have seen with my own very eyes, azan is taking place, the people are walking out, oh, I need to go meet such and such person. Whereas the ruling is, if you are in a masjid, if you hear the azan, then you are bound to complete your salah. But people are very eager just to run away from these particular situations. Where is that eagerness, that anticipation, that desire, that yearning to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to find that peace and serenity and tranquility? So this is really a very important aspect of salah, because it shows the state of your heart. You know, people say it's very hard to see what your heart is like. You know, who's going to open your chest? Who's going to take a photo of your heart? Just look at yourself and ask yourself in terms of the salah, of the azan, of the iqamah. Where are you? Where is your state? How eager are you to pray your salah? We often are looking ways and means to escape our salah and ignore it. Chalo, baadish padhna maange. Oh, chalo, theek hai, ye time hai. You know, we'll do it later, or I'll delay it by half an hour, an hour, X, Y, and Z. We always have some excuse always ready for us to delay our salah. But this was never the case with the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. He was the complete opposite of wanting for salah to commence as much as possible. So we often get absorbed in what we are trying to do in the dunya within ourselves, or within our parishani, etc. Or we try to postpone things, and ultimately what happens is we end up forgetting our salah. And you know all of this, everybody knows this, I know this. That you know that time has happened, and you say, oh, I'll pray in a little bit. Oh, I've still got time to pray with Jamaat. And then Jamaat passes by, oh, I've still got time before Asr begins, or before the next Salah begins. And then something just keeps coming up and coming up, and we end up either forgetting, delaying, or completely postponing our Salah. So this itself shows your attitude and how meaningful and how close your connection is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see from the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, it revolved around salah. You see his emphatic statement in the Quran, where the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi salam mentions that, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. That indeed all of my salah, and it's at the very beginning of that sentence, that statement, وَإِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي, and all of my sacrifices, وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي, and indeed my life and my death, everything that I have is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we put ourselves first, we put our interests first, our families first, and everything first, and then if we have time, mari moti and kachi pakki, we read our salah right towards the end. Even then we're like, we're going to do the bare minimum. If it's three witr, we'll reduce it down to one. And if we can find other ways of reducing others, we'll do that as well. Unfortunately, this is a reflection of our attitude and our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salah itself, what does it do? It brings relief. It brings sukoon for the individual. Huzayfa radiallahu ta'ala, and he mentioned the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that whenever he was stressed, whenever he would stress any particular situation, the first thing that he would do is go and establish the salah, the nafl salah. the optional salah and go and be engaged with the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because it gave him that peace, it gave him that serenity, it gave him that comfort. When we are stressed, some of the things that we do, and we say to our children, leave me alone, the fawajah, or especially to our wife, the TV comes on, or the mobile comes out, or the newspaper comes out, or we say, hukalekia, or we go out and for a cigarette and for a spliff or something else, or you call somebody, let's go out, yaar, I need to clear my mind. These are some of the things that we do. Yaro, why are we not doing those things that actually will bring you peace to your heart and to your mind? Those things that are established and proven, which is what the Prophet ﷺ would do when he was eager, when he was stressed, when he was anxious, whenever he wanted to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would establish the prayer. But this is the last thing that we ever think of. The very last thing that we ever think of. Look at Luqman ﷺ, he would order his son, Ya bunayya aqim salat. This is what he would say. Establish the prayer. It's a very important connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the prayer that we do again and again. The prayer of Ibrahim alayhi salam. رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ زُرِّيَّتِي رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَاءَ. Allah enable me to establish the prayer, to maintain the prayer. Not just me, but also my family. If we are failing in our salah, especially in a meaningful form of salah, of course our children will fail as well. These are the du'as of the Anbiya alayhim salam. Look at Isa alayhi salam. وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيَّا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made me a prophet. وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ. He has made me blessed wherever I go, but He has ordained and commanded me to establish the salah, to maintain the salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us in the Quran. وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ. That order your children to establish the salah. Where were we in the holidays, in the summer holidays? How much did we establish the salah for ourselves? How much did we establish it for our children? How much do we maintain it throughout the year? We are more worried at night. We say, beta, we say, oh my son, oh my daughter, go to sleep. It's very late. Look at the time. Go to sleep. Why do you need to go to sleep? You've got school in the morning. You've got college in the morning. You've got university in the morning. You have to go to work in the morning. These are the reasons that we always give prima facie, the very first reason that we give. We never say, oh my son, oh my daughter, go to sleep, you have fajr in the morning. We don't say that. Because we don't even think about our own fajr, let alone our children's fajr. We are worried about our dunya, we're worried about the dunya of our children, we're never worried about our akhirah. And this is the difference. This is where you will see the attitude and the connection that you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via your salah. Because it's a very difficult thing to maintain and establish. But in the Quran, over 100 times, again and again, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَزُلَفًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. So many times, again and again, establish the prayer, establish the prayer. The very first verse that I recited, إِنَّنِي أَنَا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدْنِي وَأَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. Indeed, I am your Lord, the one who gave you this life, the one who made you who you are, the one who is sustaining your life, the one who's given you every single thing that you can imagine. Everything that you have is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one and only. There's none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you believe that and acknowledge that and understand that, fa'budni, then worship me. Worship me. Worship me. How do you worship me? Via the salah. Fajr, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bare minimum wants you to worship Him. وَأَخْمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. Establish the salah for my zikr, for my remembrance. Remember me. This is your benefit. This is where you will succeed. This is how you will succeed. But where are we in comparison to all of this? How is our remembrance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Straighten your salah is a very integral and important part of our salah. Because when you straighten your rows, when you stand together shoulder to shoulder, it's a very important part. People sometimes go to, I wouldn't say extremes, but you know, excessiveness. They say the ankles have to meet and the shoulders have to meet. But if that's the case, then there's another hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that make sure your necks meet as well. So there's a balance. You need to understand the context of these ahadith as well. But the bare minimum is that at least your shoulders should be meeting the person on the right and the person on the left. Bare minimum. And your rows should be straight. Your feet should be straight. Your rows should be straight. Your shoulders should be connected. If you straighten your salah will in turn straighten you. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ. Your salah will prevent you and protect you from all forms of obscenity, of fahsha and munkar, of wrongdoing. But if you establish it correctly, if you do it in a straight manner, if you do things in that tera manner, then namaz teri ho, see the bande bhi teri ho sin. Kam bhi teri ho sin, as they say. If your namaz is wonky, if your salah is wonky, and your rows are not straight, then you will also be wonky and you will be bent outside of salah as well. You need to straighten yourself, to straighten your heart, to straighten your actions. This is very, very important. This is why, hence, every single salah, the Prophet ﷺ would say, establish the salah, make sure you straighten your salah. Make sure you are straight in your salah. Make sure you are upright in your salah. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats it again and again and again. But this is something, the first thing that we forget when we come to our salah, our rows are never straight. Our rows are never straight. We're not standing shoulder to shoulder. One person is slightly ahead, another person is slightly behind. Everybody wants their personal space. If Allah Ta'ala wanted you to pray separately, you wouldn't be gathered here today. You come here as a congregation to stand shoulder to shoulder, to stand in a straight row, to stand in the same direction, to worship the same Lord in the same manner. These are very important things, yet we don't reflect on these. We want our own space. Why is that? Establish your salah, maintain your salah, straighten your salah, and salah in turn will straighten you and benefit you in so many ways. Salah is the core of our deen, the quintessential aspect of our deen. And we need to really prioritize salah in our life. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned that afdalus salat fi awwali waqtiha, that the best type of salah or deed that you can perform is to perform your salah at this very earliest point, to never delay your salah. Because other things will always come your way. Your own wife, or your children, or the dunya, and so many other distractions will come your way, and you'll end up losing all of that barakah, all of the reward. And this is why, for years on end, at least for 9 years here, and I'm sure the many imams from beforehand have told you again, when you come, fill out the first rows. This is where the most reward is. Why would you sit at the back where you can get 10 pence of reward, when you can get 100 or 1,000 rewards over here? Any silly person would never, you know, forsake all of those rewards, all of those bounties and blessings. But here we come to salah, everybody wants to just sit far, far away. And every time we have to say, come forward, straighten your rows, complete your rows. Why do we do this to ourselves? It shows that we don't really care about the reward. We don't really care about the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't truly care about following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We think that we've got so many rewards that we're doing an ihsan on our community, or na'uz billah min zalik, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by coming here and then just about praying. When we know that we need every single mercy and blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enter into paradise. So why not maximize your rewards and maximize your earnings by coming to the first row, by coming into the second row and the third row? We know that hadith, and they've been repeated often again and again, but we still forget them. We still think, oh, jalo khairat, dekhi jawegi. So your priority for your salah, your priority for where you sit, your priority for how you stand is all a reflection on your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your attitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you place your salah first, it means you are placing your Lord first before you. That Lord who gave you 24 hours, that Lord who gave you health, that Lord who gives you opportunity every single day, that Lord who enables you to earn and learn as sustenance and provisions and protects you and everything, you are saying, Allah, I'm placing you first. And I will establish my prayer and I will do it in the correct manner. Rather than, oh Allah, you're right at the end. Let me do my chores. Let me get to work. Let me come back. Let me feed my children. Let me do all of those things. And then right at the end, I'll maybe pray my salah. This is what is happening. But فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. We have to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. We have to take the step. We have to establish our salah. We have to establish our rows and straighten our rows if we want to be successful. So these are some of the important things. But one of the very important questions that I had, which I wanted to share with everybody, is that we all know that if you miss any fast in the month of Ramadan, I'm not talking about deliberately or accidentally, whatever the circumstances may be, we know that if you miss your fast in the month of Ramadan, what do you have to do? You have to make them up. There's no exception about that. And especially if you deliberately miss a fast,
And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that even if you were to fast for the entirety of your life, you would still never receive the same reward of that one day of fasting that you missed intentionally. So whether you miss it intentionally or unintentionally, you have to make up your fast. If you miss your payments of zakat for years on end, you have to calculate all those missing years of zakat and you have to pay your zakat. There's no getting around that. If you go on hajj and you do not complete the hajj, you have to come back the following day year and you have to complete your hajj. If you are unable to complete your hajj, then somebody on your behalf still completes the hajj, because it is an obligation upon you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is qada of your fast, of your zakat, of your rites of hajj for you to complete. But then nowadays people are learning their deen from TikTok. They're learning their deen from Instagram. And they're saying, oh, if you miss your salah, that's it, it's gone. Tika, miss hogi, and that's it. We don't have to do qada of our salah. This is not the case, my dear brothers and sisters. There's no wiggling out of your other obligations of our deen. And similarly, there's no wiggling out of your salah. It is an obligation upon you. It is a duty upon you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed. And if you miss something, then you have to make it up. It's just like when you tell your child to do something and they miss it deliberately, you don't say, chalo khare. No, you make sure that they are sorry and they repent, and you give them extra duties to say, now because you missed that, you have to do extra to make it up, because you have to be sorry, truly sorry about that. So when we miss our salah for whatever reason it may be, don't just think, oh, the salah is gone, that's it, the time's gone. No, you have to make your salah up. There is still a qada. So Imam Malik, Imam Hanifa, Imam Shafi, rahmatullahi alayhi, the great imams of our deen, they emphatically state that if you miss your salah, you have to make your salah up. If you look at Bukhari Sharif, if you look at Muslim Sharif, Prophet ﷺ has clearly mentioned that whoever forgets to pray a salah, it is obligatory upon him that he pray that salah when he remembers. We know when we missed our Fajr, we know when we missed our Zuhr or Asr or Maghrib Isha. You know how many weeks or days or months or years of salah that you have been missing, and therefore it is obligatory upon you to make up your salah via qada. So the fara'id, not the sunnahs and the wajib and the nafas, but your fard salah, 2 of fajr, 4 of zuhr, 4 of asr, 3 of maghrib and 4 of isha. And in the Hanafis, it's also the witr, but in the non-Hanafis, it's fine. So you have to make those up. And this is a very important thing that we forget as well. We think, chalo, rad gay, bad gay, doesn't matter. No, we need to establish our present salah, and we need to also maintain and establish our past salah and make that up in the sincerest of manners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the salah, as I mentioned, is the first thing that you will be questioned on the day of Qiyamah. So your salah is your lifeline. It is your lifeline that will protect you and make you distinguished and discernible in the dunya. And it is your lifeline that will enable you to cross the bridge and enter into Jannat al-Firdaus. There's nothing more important than your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that connection is your sila. That sila is your salah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my brothers and sisters, whenever you make a mistake, go and pray. Whenever you have a difficulty, go and pray. Whenever you are happy, go and pray. Whenever you are sad or worried, go and pray. Maintain your connection always to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you are with Allah azza wa jal, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with you, insha'Allah.